Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome to Saturday Sport Classified on Manx Radio AM 1368, the latest roundup of all the Isle of Man football, rugby and hockey action from across Manx shores and further afield. Plenty going on in Manx football, including the race for Railway Cup qualification in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. In hockey, the penultimate weekend of the mixed league season with league titles and relegations, which could have been decided this weekend. And in rugby, a busy schedule with no fewer than four Ireland teams in action. But first, let's take you through the classified sporting results for the Isle of Man on today. Saturday, the 22nd of November 2025. Starting with football. The Canada Life Men's Premier League. Laxey 4, Onchan 4. Russian United 1, St John's United 2. Union Mills 0, Corinthians 8. Douglas High School Old Boys 1, St Mary's 2. Foxdale versus Ayr United postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Ardern Drug Unlimited Division 2. Douglas Royal versus St George's awaiting result. Douglas and District versus Pullrose United awaiting result. Governors Athletic 0, Castletown 6. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 0, Colby 1. Canada Life Combination 1. Corinthians 8, Union Mills 1. St John's United 1, Laxey 4. St Mary's 2, Douglas High School Old Boys 7. Ayr United 4, Foxdale 0. Ardern and Drug Unlimited Combination 2. Jims versus Malou awaiting result. Douglas Athletic 7, Michael United 3. St George's versus Douglas Royal, an away walkover to Douglas Royal, St George's unable to field a team. Pullrose United versus Douglas and District awaiting result. Castletown 1, Governors Athletic 0. Colby 0, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 4. And in the Northwest Counties Football League Premier Division, Longridge Town 2, FC Isle of Man 5. Turning now to rugby. Regional 2 Northwest. Firwood Waterloo 21, Douglas 25. Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire. Ramsey 29, Burnley 50. Vagabonds 17, Oldham 45. Women's NC2 North South. Bury 15, Vagabonds Ladies 26. In hockey, the Mixed Premier League. Castletown Southerners 0, Vikings A 4. Harlequins A 0, Valkyries A 3. Castletown Celts 0, Backers A 8. Vikings B 1, Backers B 4. Mixed Division 1. Backers C 1, Harlequins B 2. Ramsey A 3, Valkyries C 2. Valkyries B versus Vikings C is a late result. Mixed Division 2. Castletown Camags 1, Vikings D 1. Ramsey Ravens 4, Castletown Cosney 0. Castletown Cushags 2, Backers Mixed Colts 3. Mixed Division 3. Ramsey Rookies 5, Harlequins D 5. Backers D 3, Valkyries D 4. Vikings E 1, Castletown Carrick 2. Harlequins C 3, Backers Mixed Bucks 3. The Mixed Under 15s League. Backers 6, Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 2. Valkyries versus Harlequins and Vikings versus Castletown Sharks are late results. That concludes the classified results here on the Isle of Man for football, rugby and hockey on Saturday the 22nd of November 2025. As you may have heard there, some results still to come through to us here in particularly football and hockey as well. So if you hear a result is outstanding, you have any information, please do text in or WhatsApp us on 166 177. Turning our attention then, first of all, to today's footballing action in the Premier League. Railway Cup spots up for grabs in Division 2. Castletown and Colby continuing their tussle at the top of Division 2, among other things. To go through today's results, as always, is our football correspondent, Tony Meppam. And Tony, the first game we'll come to that in just a moment, but there have been some big results today.
Certainly has been some big results. A lot at stake as well, Rob. Let's look at the fixtures that were out today. It was all to play for in all the games. And we'll bring the news to you as you're going to go through the list. But certainly one or two surprises at the end of the game.
Indeed. Well, Tony, let's go first of all to the game that you were at today. And what a thriller we had at Glen Road today between Laxey and Oncombe. Both sides looking to mathematically seal a spot in this season's Railway Cup competition at the end of the calendar year. And, well, 8 goals. Laxey 4, Oncombe 4. But it was all in Laxey's hands, Tony, before a big Oncombe fight back.
It certainly was, because in the first half I thought both clubs had a go, but Laxey just seemed to have the better of that first 45 minutes. And, you know, with goals by Ben Wazza, you just sort of looked at it and you just thought this is going to go sort of safe. Ed Canner got two of the goals as well. The first one was a bit of a tap-in because a lot of people in that goal area. But the second one was just space on the right-hand side. And it was funny because he sort of slowed down, had a little look to his right-hand side. The line didn't put his flag up, and he just carried on and smashed the ball, hit the bar, came down and went over the line. And then second half substitute Jack Riding got the fourth one for Laxey, and Laxey just seemed to be cruising. Tom Creer pulled one there back for Oncombe. Then I think it was Andy Asbridge who got the second, and then second half substitute Nathan Robinson came on. And you know, Nathan's not been a Laxey player for long, only signed just at the end of October, I think it was, from Braddon. And he got that third one. And then Tom Creer got one at the end to make it 4-4. So incredible sort of scenes from the Oncombe team, because that qualifies them for the Manx Car Stores Railway Cup semi-finals. Laxey are still going to have to sit and wait. We'll work on the fixtures tonight so we can get them in, Rob. But, you know, it's been a fantastic game to watch. Laxey will be so disappointed the way it went in the second half, because defensively they looked solid. Going forward, they looked really good. But it just all crumbled, and it's down to a sheer bit of genius from Tom Creer, and also just hard work from the whole team. Never gave up, even when they were 3-0 down. They still kept chipping away, and it didn't go to plan for Laxey in the end. And all the points are shared, and could prove costly for Laxey if they don't get that point to qualify.
So Oncombe seal their place in the Railway Cup this year. Laxey, as Tony's just mentioned there, we're still working out the connotations. We'll come to those in a few moments. Taking a look at the other games. Rushen United still were left with an outside chance going into today of qualifying for the Railway Cup. Just a couple of little maybe stumbles in the last couple of weeks after such a positive start. They were at home to St John's United today, and it all started so well for Rushen United, but a big fight back from the visitors. St John's United going on to win by 2-1.
Yeah, got a match report on this one, and it was Stevie Ryden who put Rushen in the lead. And, you know, they had that lead for a long, long time, and it was only towards the end of the second half, really, where St John's got back into it. Not too sure. We'll see what Paul's report says, but I believe Callum Taggart might have had another one that was disallowed there towards the end as well. But before the game started, there was a minute's applause for Alan Cowan, which we all knew about, and, you know, a big, big loss to us all, because a great friend to a lot of people and just a generally top guy. But 5 minutes into the game, Rushen were awarded a penalty that was taken by Steve Riding, who sent Rice diving to the wrong direction to slot it into the bottom left corner, putting the Spaniards one up. Rushen carried on applying the pressure on 25 minutes. St John started turning the screw on Rushen, but everything tried, they couldn't find that goal they were looking for, and so finished the first half with the Spaniards one up. St John started in the second half as they finished in the first, but once again Rushen started taking the game by the scruff of the neck and leaving Rice to make some good saves. Then on the 73rd minute, Rushen thought they doubled their lead, only for it to be ruled offside. Then on 83 minutes, it was a cross came over to find Callum Taggart, who brought the ball down on his chest to fire it home and bring the Johnners level. Then on the 94th minute, St John's thought they got their second goal, only for it to be offside. That was Callum Taggart. But 1 minute later, St John's got that second goal to give them the 3 points. Final score, Rushen 1, St John's too. And thanks to Paul Turner for that report.
Absolutely, yep. Thank you very much. And over at Gary Moore, that saw Corinthians, who the league leaders who were on a rest week last weekend, looking to continue their run, not just at the top of the table, but also still unbeaten going into this weekend as well, facing Union Mills side that got a draw against Rushden United last time out. Corinthians returning in style today, winning at Union Mills by 8-0.
Yeah, really good performance and strong right the way through the game. And a person who doesn't really say much on our WhatsApp group has posted a slick performance, so it must have been to get him to post something. But Luke Murray, absolute star today. He got three, but just behind him was Josh Ridings. He got a couple of goals there. Connor Clark got one. Dan Simpson on the score sheet as well. And Union Mills, we're not too sure it was. An own goal was scored as well. So improves Corinthians' goal difference massively, because you put that 8 on the 43, that's on the 35, sorry, that's 43 they've got now. And it's like an extra point, isn't it, Rob, when you get a goal difference like that one. But, you know, keeps them in touch, and it was a big, big game for them, because obviously Laxey dropping points, it's a little bit of a gap.
Indeed. So just to add some more stats to what Tony is saying there, Corinthians top after 12 games, so the halfway point of the season, on 30 points. 7 points clear of Peel in second, who weren't playing today, and also Peel have 2 games in hand as well, so to still potentially make up ground, the defending champions. Elsewhere at Blackberry Lane, Douglas High School Old Boys took on St Mary's. St Mary's coming away with the 3 points today, Tony, winning by 2-1. For Douglas High School Old Boys, once again, it seems close but no cigar.
Yeah, no cigar, but I would say it's a good, helps them, encouragement, because, you know, St Mary's are top side. I know when you look at the league table, the halfway stage, but they've still got some really good players in there. And Zach Watterson got the goal for Douglas High School Old Boys, but Mark Wolfenden, you know, if he gets a sniff at goal, he'll always take a chance, and he's done it today. He got 2 goals, so well done, Wolfie. And St Mary's take the 3 points, 2-1 winners against Old Boys.
And the remaining game in the Canada Life Men's Premier League that was due to take place here at Billygo Park between Foxdale and Ayr United, that game was postponed earlier today due to a waterlogged pitch. So, Tony, I could almost hear the calculator whirring away in your brain here, but this is how we're looking at, for some teams it's the halfway point of the season. Corinthians have played 12. If we're talking about Railway Cup qualification, let's look at the top four: Corinthians, Peel, Onchan and Laxey. Corinthians in first and Onchan in third have now played 12. Corinthians on 30 points, Onchan on 22. Peel in second have only played 10 for 23 points, and Laxey only played 10 for 21 points as well. So how is that going to be worked out with games still to come beyond what is the halfway point for some teams?
Right, OK, let's chalk them 3 points off that Corinthians got excuse me, today, because that's the turnaround, so that doesn't count for the Railway Cup qualification. So they're still on 27, so they've played 11 games. When you look at Peel, they've played 10 for 23, so those two are in the hat. We've got Onchan, who have played 12 now, so they've played all theirs up to the halfway stage. They're on 22 points. Now the complication sets in. Laxey have played 10 for 21. We've got Rushden United, who have played 12 now for 20. So they're sort of out of it, because obviously that point behind Laxey leaves them out. And then St John's have played 10 for 15. So St John's win their 2 games in hand, which are
down
against...
Down 7th at the moment. I was going to ask you about this. Mathematically, St John's United could still make it, because Rushden United and St Mary's above them have now played those 12.
Correct. So St John's have got Foxdale to play and Old Boys to play. You look at the league tables, those two teams are bottom and next to the bottom. Now, let's just have a look at the goal difference. We've got St John's are on +3 and Laxey are on +17. So there's a big difference there. Laxey have still got 2 games to play. And also we've got Old Boys, St John's, who have got Old Boys and Foxdale to play, 2 games in hand. So we're going to have to do some juggling next week with the fixtures. So apologies to any clubs that I'm going to upset, but we need to see if we can get this on Boxing Day, because we've only really got 2 Saturdays left now to try and get these fixtures out of the way. But yeah, we're close. We're very close, Rob. But we'll check it all tonight. We'll let the clubs know tonight what we're going
to
do.
Going to have to dig out the abacus from the cupboard in the FA clubhouse over the next couple of weeks.
Exactly.
We'll just have to wait and see. OK, Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2. So going into today, still just 2 points separated. Southern rivals Castletown and Colby at the top of Division 2. Castletown leading the way today. We were in the last few minutes still waiting for a couple of results. Tony, do you have an update for us?
Yeah, we've got them in. And Douglas Royal against St George's. Douglas Royal 2, St George's. George's 2. Don Smith got the goal for Douglas Royal, the first one. Then it was an own goal. The second one, and it was the one we wanted, was Douglas and District 0, Paul Rose 3. Haven't got the goal scorers, but thanks to Dean Turton for just confirming those score lines. And then the other ones, I think we've got them there, Rob, on the sheet.
We have indeed. And Castletown, so they were due to be playing away at Governors Athletic today. It's an away fixture. This was actually played at Castletown on the second pitch because Governors Athletic looking to preserve the pitch they're currently using at St Ninian's. Castletown, they'll remain top tonight with a convincing 6-0 win, Tony.
Yeah, good performance against a more physical side like Governors Athletic, and credit to the clubs to get this game on. But it was 2-0 at half-time, 6-0 at the end. Ollie Lee with two of the goals. Ross Crawford got one. Harry Hinks, Josh Glover on the score sheet, and Charlie Quirk got the other one. So good performance by Castletown, and as you say, keeps them clear at the top.
And that Castletown victory meant that Colby would have to be keeping the pace today, and indeed they have. They remain within 2 points of Castletown because they've earned a narrow 1-0 victory away at Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys today.
One important goal that was as well, wasn't it? Jordan Edge got the goal. Ramsey Youth Centre disappointed, but it shows where they are with their performances and battling away at the top of the table with Castletown and sort of Colby. But today they couldn't get the better of Colby, and it's that Jordan Edge goal that split them.
I think it's good that we don't have a Railway Cup style competition in Division 2 either, because there is such a mix of games played. So just to give you a little bit of context, Castletown, top of the table, 28 points after 11 games. Colby in second, 26 points after 11 games. And in third place, just outside the promotion spot, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys on 19 points after 11 games. So a 7-point cushion now, Colby after Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. But again, Tony, look at the teams further down here. Moran in fourth have played 8. Paul Rose United have played 9 here. Or is that the 10th?
10.
That'll make it 10, yes, just as we're waiting those to be updated. But Malou as well, only on 7 at the moment, down in 7th, and down in 9th, Governors Athletic on 9 at the moment as well. So a little bit of catching up to do for some teams.
Yeah, there is, and we're trying to get some fixtures in. We tried to squeeze one in next week, but unfortunately, if a club has a free week and it's set down in the fixtures as their free week, then we will honour that, because they've known since the start of the season that that was a free week for them, and they may have booked something, and that's what unfortunately has happened. But there's a lot of big difference in them. We don't want to lose too many matches in Division 2, and what we actually did, a recommendation came from council, was that to see if we can get some games on the 27th of December. So a message went out to all clubs, and unfortunately three clubs came back. Two of the clubs were Division 2 and only wanted to play a first team game, and only one Premiership side came back. So unfortunately we'll have one fixture on that day, and that'll be Castletown against Malou.
Turning to Canada Life Combination 1 then. Well, the leaders Ramsey going into this weekend undefeated with 8 wins from the opening 10 and 2 draws. They weren't in action this weekend. That was going to allow some teams like the Corinthians to gain some ground, because like Peel and Russian United not playing. Well, Corinthians have made up that ground. They've now moved to within 2 points of Ramsey at the top of the table with an 8-1 win at home to Union Mills.
Yeah, really good performance, and don't know who got Union Mills' goal, but for Corinthians, Kane Ryden got 4. So when you look at it, Kane Ryden scored for Corinthians Combination 4, Josh Ryden scored for Corinthians First Team 2, and Jack Ryden scored for Laxey's First Team 1. So well done. Good debate there on the breakfast table tomorrow morning. But it was Noah Vowles got his name on the score sheet again. Adam McCulloch, Amada Gilmore got one, and Ryan Burns, who's returned back from holiday in the combination side today, got a goal. And a good result that for Corinthians, keeps the pressure on Ramsey at the top of the table.
Elsewhere, Laxey leapfrogging St John's United, who hosted them today, because Laxey 4-1 winners at St John's today.
Yeah, I don't think we've got any information through on this one, as in goal scorers, I'll just check. But certainly the scoreline, probably the way most people expected it to go. I know St John's, one or two players had to filter into the first team. But Laxey, once again, and we did touch on last night, that they're free scoring, aren't they? Scored plenty of goals and got another 4 today.
Elsewhere, a little further down the table, in the early kickoff today at 1:45, St Mary's 2, Douglas High School Old Boys 7.
Yeah, St Mary's, one of the goal scorers is Chris Cowley, and then he got a red card later on, so he'll miss out next week. Old Boys were 4-2 up at half time. Tyler Lattice Callister got 4 of the goals, Lex Johnson with 2, and Alex Andresi got 1, and Jack Adams, a really good player, Jack Adams, first team player as far as I'm concerned, with 5 of the assists. So well done to him.
And elsewhere, Ayr United and Foxtel's first teams didn't play, of course, today with Billy Goat Park waterlogged pitch, but the two combination teams faced off up at Andrews playing fields in the North of the Island. Ayr United 4-0 winners.
They'll be delighted with that, Ayr, because they've been missing a few players of late and not many substitutes being available, but I think their brothers, Harry Reid and Ben Reid, got a goal apiece. Harley Christian got one, and Leo Dunnigan got the other one for Ayr to win 4-0.
And then looking to Ardern and Drug Unlimited combination two. One of the results we were waiting on was between Jims and Malou. Tony, I believe we have an update.
I can see why they didn't phone in. It would have taken about half an hour to give us the scorers. It was Jims 7, Malou 6, but I haven't got the scorers. So what a result that is for Jims.
Even though we don't have specifics, sounds like a thrilling game either way that was going on at Tramode Road today. It was a thrilling game that took place between Douglas Athletic and Michael United. 10 goals in that one, but the majority going the way of Douglas Athletic, looking to try and keep pace with the leaders Paul Rose United today. Douglas Athletic beating Michael United by 7-3.
Yeah, got a bit of a match report on this one. Lots being said about Douglas Athletic in the Combi 2 League being too good, and they showed their quality and experience in the first half, but mainly due to the lack of effort and quality from the Greens. 5-1 at half-time, the score looked like going to a larger scoreline, but Michael changed tactics second half and showed they had the ability to compete with effort and hard work and goals from Oisin Dillon and Fletcher Neen, encouraged the Greens, but Douglas Athletic always had a threat, and the second half ended 2-2 with Douglas Athletic down to 10 men. We can whinge and moan, they are too good, but if you have that mentality, you will lose. We could have rolled over and lost by 10 easily, but we competed with them and made it tough. Thank you, Michael Corlett, for that honest review. And just to go through the goal scorers again, it was Nathan Farragut with one for Michael. Oisin Dillon got a goal, and Fletcher Neen haven't got Douglas Athletic's goal scorers.
The game that was due to take place at Glen Crutchery Road between St George's and Douglas Royal, that was awarded as an away walkover to Douglas Royal this weekend. St George's unable to field a team. Elsewhere, there were eyes on Paul Rose United, combination sides, still the only team with a 100% record at the start of the season across the four senior men's divisions. They went into this weekend with 11 wins from 11. It is 12 wins from 12. There is no stopping Paul Rose United's combination side at the moment, beating Douglas and District by 7-0, we believe, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely flying. 36 points are on now. As you say, played 12 games, 7-0 winners. Haven't got the goal scorers, but my word, it's going to be a sort of major collapse by them, I think, to allow anyone in. Douglas Athletic are just below them. Ramsey Youth Centre played 9-4-25. So if they actually won their game in hand, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, they would go ahead of Douglas Athletic by 3 points. So nice little battle going on in all leagues.
And Castletown mid-table starting the day. There were one of a couple of teams on very similar points totals in the middle of the table. Castletown just about edging out Governors Athletic by a goal to nil.
Yeah, and it was just a sole goal. Mohamed Anz Heron, I think it was, got the goal for Castletown. And that's good because when we touched on the game last night, you know, Governors Athletic, a lot of experience and, physical in the right way. You know, they're very strong players, as were Castletown. A lot of younger players, but they came out winners today.
And the other results saw Colby beaten at home by Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys by 4-0.
Yeah, they've got to keep in touch. Ramsey Youth Centre, top of the table with 3 points maximum every week. And against Colby, always going to be difficult because they're only two positions behind them. But Jamie Brew was the star. He got two of the goals. Martin Tor, well done, Martin. Still playing. You'll be sore tomorrow, Sunbeam. And Pippi Murphy got the other one. So good result for Youthy.
So, yeah, this is how the table looks then if we factor in that Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. So, Paul Rose United at the top, 12 wins from 12, 36 points. Douglas Athletic in second. After 11 games, they've got 28 points, so an 8-point gap between those. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys now up to 10 games, so played one game fewer than Douglas Athletic. Level on points, only behind on goal difference, Tony.
Yeah, and that's what's going to go, I think, for most of the season. You look at Moran, have played 11 for 19, and Colby have started to climb back up the table. They had a poor start to the season. But Jims as well, credit to them because, struggled at the start of the season. But they've gained a few players and a lot of good things coming out from that club. The vibe is good and they'll hopefully improve and go for two teams next year.
And Tony, we'll just quickly turn our attention to FC Isle of Man. They were looking to shrug off back-to-back defeats this weekend when they travelled to Longridge Town the second time in the space of just 3 weeks. They were actually playing the Lancashire base side after a 2-2 draw between the sides at the Bowling Douglas earlier this month. And an emphatic victory for FC Isle of Man on the road today, Tony. They've beaten Longridge Town by 5-2, 2 goals apiece for Charlie Higgins and Adam Adebayi, and also a strike from Dean Pennington as well. Good result for Rick Holden's side.
Brilliant result, and shame we couldn't get Rick on, to be fair. I know he has to travel back and everything, but you know, it's a great result and they scored so early, and it just puts a good confidence boost in the team. No game midweek, they've got an away game again next week, and you know, hopefully it's coming together. But you know, we've been shy of goals, haven't we? You know, Charlie Higgins has always weighed in with his fair share, but Adam Adebayi with two, Luke Booth got one last week, and you know, it just seems to be moulding quite well up front. You've got Steve Whitley down that right hand side, and you know, it's all gelling together nicely for Rick Holden. And when you think of it, he's interim manager, isn't he? He's doing a pretty good job, so credit to him.
And yeah, just with a little bit of a look at what the context of what it means for FC Isle of Man, they started the day 5 points above the relegation zone, and we are still waiting to see confirmation of results elsewhere across the NWCFL Premier Division today. But of course, with a further 3 more points, that could take them to 8 points clear of the relegation zone. Is it a case at this point with FC Isle of Man's situation, the way the season's panned out at the moment and how objectives may have changed, that any point's a good point at this point?
I'd agree, because obviously 1 point is better than none. And it just gives them a comfortable place. When you look at the teams below them, you know, they've played less games, quite a few less games. So, you know, they might just climb back up. But the important thing is for FC Isle of Man to stay in this league. They're not sort of going to get involved near the top this season, but it just gives them a chance to rebuild and let's FC Isle of Man sort out what they're going to do management-wise. Because obviously, Paul Jones has gone. Rick Holden's come in on a temporary basis. I would say Rick's pretty well enjoyed it, to be honest with you, because, you know, a couple of times I've spoken to him, there's a spring in his step, and it's now the players are understanding how he wants to play. And let's face it, he's done it all, hasn't he? So it can only be good to bring them younger players through with the more experienced players sort of coming out of the selection process. Newer players coming in, Rick's given them an opportunity, and hopefully it all gels together and they get the results and get the points to get them out of that bottom area we don't want them to be.
Indeed, well, we'll just have to wait and see. Tony Meppen, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Turning our attention to rugby now, and it was a busy schedule today for Isle of Man sides. No fewer than 4 Isle of Man sides in action, both on Manx shores and further afield today. Douglas looking to keep up their great form in Regional 2. Northwest started the weekend second in the table. In Counties 3, ADM Lancashire and Cheshire, Ramsey and Vagabonds both on home soil, with the former of those still searching for their first win of the season. And Vagabonds ladies back in action in Women's NC2 North South, away at bottom of the table side Bury. To go through all the action as it has happened today is our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. Dave, what can you tell us about how things have unfolded this afternoon?
Well, as you know, Rob, I've been keeping quiet about Douglas and the possible chances for promotion. I didn't want to put a commentator's curse on them, for want of a better way to describe it. But they're starting to look the part. OK, they won this afternoon. They were playing bottom side Firwood Waterloo. They've won 25-21. They haven't got a bonus point today, but I don't think they're going to be too bothered about that, because I suspect Waterloo are a lot tougher than their league position is suggesting, and a couple of losing bonus points in there make things look quite encouraging for them if it just turns a little bit of a corner. Anyway, Douglas won today, 25-21. Tries from Nathan Robson, Matty Wood and Harry Hewson, and Robson also got 2 conversions and 2 penalties. The big news today, though, Rob, is that elsewhere in the league, leaders Sandbach lost at North Ribblesdale. This means in league table position, and although the RFU results system is running a bit tread alert today, Douglas are now only 3 points behind league leaders Sandbach, and they've got a game in hand, which is against Burnage, and is scheduled at the moment for 24th of January. Douglas win that game in hand, their league leaders themselves. Although I have to say, word of caution, I don't want to get too excited too early, that league table is very congested at the top end. There are a number of teams that are potentially in contention, he says, trying to buy time while he brings the league table up on the screen in front of him. I did have it here before we came on air. Yeah, we've got a whole host of teams up there with Douglas. I think I counted eight are potentially in the mix. And they go all the way down to Burnage. So we got Sandbach and Douglas up there at the top. North Ribblesdale, Vale of Loon, Widnes, Northwich, Winnington Park, potentially all there within striking distance if results go their way. But Douglas have got into prime position. They're 3 points behind Sandbach. They've got the game in hand. Win that with a bonus point. They go two clear, win it outright, and they just go one clear. So interesting times ahead for Douglas. We're only 8 games into their campaign. So again, as I say, it's a bit too early to get excited, but things are looking very, very promising. The next game is next week at Portishead against fifth place Widnes, who are one of those teams in striking distance. So Douglas got to start picking off those home games, but they've been doing it pretty well so far. I've got no reports from Phil Kringle of any injuries either, so fingers crossed for next week, but things are looking very, very positive for Douglas. Elsewhere, however, things aren't looking quite so positive. We've got Ramsey and Vagabonds in County 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire. They both lost this afternoon. Now, it was my first game watching Ramsey in action, and of course that's my own club, but it's my first league game, and of course I've seen the results, I've seen some big score lines, but I was very impressed with them today. They were beaten 50 points to 29. And Burnley went into quite a quick early lead. The left wing, Harry Cole, was very quick. He scored 4 tries today. He scored 2 early on. Ramsey pulled one back. That gave them a little bit of hope. But then Burnley sort of squeezed the life out of them a bit at that stage. And tries from Ayrton Campbell sort of pushed them a little bit clear. Joe Bramall kicked 3 conversions. But the Ramsey reply with Dan Kelly, that looked to just keep them in touch. But then in some furious 5 minutes just before half-time, Matthew Meekin crashed over for Ramsey. And then there were 2 late tries from right wing Will Millsop, plus a conversion from Dan Kelly. That bagged them the try bonus point before the break. And when they turned around at half-time, Burnley were only 26-22 ahead. There was just 4 points in the game. But whatever the Burnley coaches said at halftime certainly worked. They really let rip after the break. Harry Cole ran in his 4th and 5th tries, and there were also tries from Marcus Duxbury and Tom Graveston. Bramall converted 2 out of those 4. Ramsey had a few chances. Tom Moffat dropped the ball as he was going over the line. But Ramsey pulled one back with a little bit of time left at the end. That was Josh Cateen from close range. Dan Kelly converted that, but it was a little bit too little, too late, I think the words of the song go. But Ramsey, like I said, I'm quite impressed with the performance today. Missing a few players as well. Josh Leese is still out injured. Jake Richmond is out injured. Eddie Lord is currently injured. Connor Cranknell's off Ireland. And they've got a couple of players at university as well. Joey Callow and Luke Ward and Nathan Brew. So if they can get that full-strength team together, they're going to cause people some problems. And the massive game next week, Ramsey against Vagabonds at the Murrick Park. And we'll be there for that one on Saturday live. Up at Bala Fletcher, Vagabonds were unable to go back-to-back wins. Oldham, who looked to be promotion contenders, possibly. Again, too early to tell, and I certainly don't want to put the kiss of death on Oldham. But they look to be possibly in with a shout there at the top of the table. The Vaggers set piece continued its fine form this afternoon, though, notwithstanding the fact that Oldham were winning. Ed Knight bagged a pushover try. They earned the penalty try as well. And second row, Harry Goodwin also weighed in with a try. Cam Finley kicking 1 conversion. So disappointment for Vagos, but they're still well clear of Ramsey in the table. I think there's 6 points gap now. But like I said, that game next week will be a big one. It's not going to count for anything, I don't think, in terms of league position, but the local bragging rights are priceless, and I think both teams will be really up for it. And in the final game of the afternoon, Vagabonds Ladies on the Road is their final game, away game in 2025. And great news for them, they beat Bury. I was looking at the team sheet last night, missing a couple of players. Malin Campbell not there, Lauren Ellison not there, Jules Harrison not there. But they did the business. Try machine Freya Crow has scored another 2 this afternoon, and I think she's scored in every Vagabonds game so far this season. There were also tries from Maisie Murray and Leona McGovern, with skipper Sammy McDonald kicking 3 conversions. And interesting for Vegas, we like to see a father and son playing together if we can in the men's rugby. In the women's today, there was a mother and daughter twice over. Maisie Murray and her mum, Sharon McCarrick, played in the Vagabonds front row. And in the back row, we had Jacinta Tasia and her daughter, Greba. So fantastic for all the girls for that mum and daughter experience, all playing together. And a great win for Vagabonds ladies, onwards and upwards. We have to wait for tomorrow when ladies rugby's played just to see where the result leaves them in the league table. But may gain a place depending on how all the results go. So well done, Vagabonds ladies.
So for Ramsey and Vagabonds, another tough day in counties 3ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire, although you did sort of, I suppose, suggest maybe on Friday Sport Preview last night that it was going to be tough considering the level of opposition in Burnley and Oldham. But let's take a look at the two Manx sides that have won today, Dave, just starting with Douglas. Again, just going back to Friday Sport Preview last night, you said that they were favourites on paper going into this, but they're not really anything could be taken for granted. And Douglas, yes, they've come away with the win, which no doubt Phil Kringle and his team will be happy with, but Firwood Waterloo certainly didn't make it easy for them.
Oh, no, definitely not. And it's unlikely to find any easy games at this level. I'm seeing the amount of effort the guys at Ramsey are putting in for bottom level of the league system. Douglas are like three levels above that. And the amount of effort that all the teams are putting in, it's easy to say that Firwood Waterloo are bottom and Douglas have won. But Firwood Waterloo, like we said, they've got three bonus points, one try bonus point, but they have two losing bonus points, which means that on two occasions they were within striking distance of the opposition, and that could be just down to one kick. They're not really out of it yet. I mean, 10th, 11th and 12th in this league have got 9, 8 and 7 points, with Firwood Waterloo on 7. Just one win for them will lift them clear of bottom position. So there really is very, very close at the bottom end of the table as well as the top. And Douglas were well aware of that going in. Phil had done his research. He knew what the score was. And even, I think I mentioned it last night, Tony Wilson-Spratt's Douglas preview in the Manx Independent was alluding to that. Waterloo is a difficult place to go and win at the best of times. So fair play to Douglas. For Vagabonds ladies away at Bury, again, Bury are bottom of the table. They've not had a very good start. I think they've had to concede at least one fixture so far this season. And that Vagabonds ladies team, as I mentioned, looked to be not quite as strong, perhaps, as we've seen in other weeks. But they've gone away and they've still done it. In women's NC2 North-South, Bury have played four. They've got one draw out of those four games and lost the other three. And they're averaging, conceding around about 40 points a game. So today, for Vagas, with what I'm going to suggest was a slightly understrength team, to go away and come back with maximum points is brilliant. It's brilliant for the ladies. It'll give them a real boost in the run up to Christmas. And they have a next fixture. I think it's on the 13th of December against Aldwinians. And Aldwinians are next to bottom, and they are also winless after four games. So there's a great chance here for Vagabonds to go back-to-back wins in this league, and that should really shove them up the table a bit.
Dave Christian, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Now turning our attention to Manx hockey. This today was the penultimate weekend of the 2025 Isle of Man mixed season, and numerous league titles and relegations could be decided throughout today's fixtures. Indeed, we have had plenty of drama, and also setting up plenty of drama for what will be the final weekend of the 2025 mixed season in 7 days' time. To go through today's crucial action, as always, is our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham, and Ben has been working furiously as the show has been going on. In fact, I can already see him writing furiously across the desk here. Ben, there's a lot to get through so far, isn't there?
There's a lot to get through, and we now have a full house of results. And there's some big results and some very big games coming up next weekend.
Indeed. Well, let's start taking a look through those results. We'll start with the Mixed Premier League. So this is how things started going into the weekend. Backers A were on the cusp of being crowned Mixed Premier League champions. What they had to do this weekend was to take victory, and that would secure it for them. Also, if they were able to if Backers A were to lose and Valkyries A in second failed to win, they didn't have to worry about what Valkyries A had to do, because, Ben, Backers A have been crowned Mixed Premier League champions. That's the first result we'll come to, and they've done it in style as well. We're beating Castletown Celts by 8-0, and it seems to mirror the ruthless goal scoring that they've had all season.
Absolutely, and I mean, come next weekend, we'll be able to look at the league tables and see how many goals they've actually scored in this mixed season. It's absolutely incredible how many they have scored. 8-0 win today. Andy Whiten were two, Tom Lotham were two, Jamie Brown were two, and Shea Christian were two. But congratulations, Backers A, league champions.
Indeed, and just looking at the league record so far, with a game to spare, of course, 9 wins from 9, 100% record. That now means, Ben, that they have scored 63 goals and conceded just 10 this season.
It's absolutely incredible, and just goes to show how strong that Backers A team have been this season.
Absolutely. So a tough day for Castletown Celts, who themselves have had a positive season so far as well, started the weekend third. Elsewhere, looking at some of the other games today, Castletown Southerners up against Vikings A. Now, Castletown Southerners could have been relegated today had they lost today and Vikings B picked up points elsewhere. Well, Castletown, as we'll come to in a moment with the other result, and it'll all make sense, Castletown Southerners, they live to fight another day. They've lost today to Vikings A by 4-0, but as it stands at the moment, they're still in the Mixed Premier League. Ben.
They are still in with a chance, and we'll come to that in a minute. Like you say, Andy Harding with 3 goals and Jacob Harding with 1, but Vikings A getting that big win there. And like we say, Southerners still do have a chance, because
looking at one of the other results today, it all depended on if Castletown Southerners suffered defeat, if Vikings B could pick up points in their game today against Backers B. Vikings B haven't been able to do that, beaten by Backers B by 4-1, Ben.
Yeah, great result for Backers B there, and Doug Quayle with a hat-trick for Backers B, and Will Wiseman, and the consolation for Vikings B coming from Josh Knighting.
And just doing some quick maths in my head going into the final weekend, Ben. So Vikings B second from bottom on 3 points. Castletown Southerners at the bottom on 1 point. So 2 points separates them. And also Vikings B are only 1 better off on goal difference going into the final weekend. And
they play each other next weekend.
And that's not the only crucial game we're going to have next weekend. All become clear as we go on as well. But it is set up for a cracking finale to the mixed hockey season. Elsewhere, Valkyries A, the slim mathematical chance going into this weekend and the final weeks that they could catch Backers A if Backers A had a phenomenal slip up. That's not going to be the case, but Valkyries A getting the job done today against Harlequins A, winning by 3-0.
Yeah, and Toby Lace with 1 and Daisy Loader with 2 goals. But what a season Valkyries A are having this year. After the disappointment last year, they've really turned things around this season. And 3-0 win over Harlequins A. And that possibly could cement the runners-up spot for them, depending on how things go next week.
Well, looking as it stands at the moment, so Valkyries A still in second on 14 points, but Castletown Celts remain where they are because of defeat on 10. Harlequins A, after defeat to Valkyries A, on 8 as well. Vikings A actually moving up ahead of Harlequins A onto 9. Actually, so Vikings A, moving up into 4th place as it stands at the moment. But that means Valkyries A mathematically have secured 2nd place, Ben.
Absolutely, and like we say, after the disappointment last season, this season they've really got things together, and congratulations to that runners-up spot.
Indeed. Moving on then to Mixed Division 1. So, Jay, just before we do so, yeah, congratulations to Backers A, Mixed Premier League captains with a game to spare. Relegation, though, from the Mixed Premier League still to be decided next weekend. Mixed Division 1. Now, this is where things get really dramatic indeed. So, Mixed Division 1. We'll go through the results first of all because, and this is the game that you were at today, Ben, at the NSC, Backers C could have clinched the title today had they taken victory against Harlequins B, but it would have also depended on both Ramsey A and Valkyries B, their nearest challengers, losing. Well, Backers C, they couldn't get the victory today. A bit of a shock, perhaps, beaten 2-1 by Harlequins B.
Yeah, and they did lead 1-0 thanks to Zoe Brideson, but then Stephen Arnold with both goals for Harlequins B, 0-0 at half-time, so it was all to play for in the second half. Backers took the lead, and then 2 goals in quick succession for Harlequins B gave them that win. But what a game it was we covered on Saturday Live. This had everything in it. It was absolutely thrilling to watch, and both keepers definitely man of the match for me.
So it was then a case of over to you, both Ramsey A and Valkyries B to respond in the north of the island. Ramsey A did just that, only just beating Valkyries C 3-2.
Yeah, Ramsey do like to keep us on the edge here. This is another game that they've just pipped. Alfie Mello with one, Connor Parfitt with one, and Christina Kameen with one for Ramsey. And then for Valkyries C, it was Jules Colley and Ryan Thomas with one.
And elsewhere, Valkyries B also getting the job done. They beat Vikings C by 6-0, and that means Vikings C are relegated from Mixed Division 1.
Yeah, unfortunately, that result does mean Vikings C are relegated. Even though they have got a game in hand, it's not going to be enough
still
for them.
Still two games to go.
Yeah, it's not going to be enough for them. Ollie Webster with one, Rob Condor with one, Andrea Littlejohn with one, Michael Deal with one, Steve Cossier with one, and Kieran Gell with one. Apologies to the others who didn't score today for Valkyries B, but nearly the whole team scored. But looking at the fixtures next weekend, do you want to tell the listeners?
We'll come to that in a moment, but I just want to give you what the table looks like at the moment. So this is how it looks points-wise. Backers C on 12, Ramsey A on 12, Valkyries B on 12, Harlequins B on 11. And Backers, Ramsey and Valkyries have all played 9. Harlequins have played 8. So all is not said and done. There are 4 teams, Ben, that could be in contention for the Mixed Division 1 title next weekend. And, go on, I'll let you give this one.
And next weekend, all 4 of them top teams play each other. So if I can remember correctly, it's Valkyries B against... it's Valkyries B against... I think it's Ramsey A against Harlequins B. And then I think Valkyries B are playing Backers C.
So this is it. Let's have a look at this. So this is what it is. It is actually going to be. So Vikings C were relegated up against Valkyries C. Backers C versus Valkyries B and Ramsey A versus Harlequins B next week.
I do think that possibly that game which Harlequins have in hand, I think might be getting played midweek this week. So we'll keep an eye out for that.
Exactly. We'll confirm details as and when we can, but it is all set up for a great finale in Mixed Division 1, and commiserations to Vikings C, who will drop down to Mixed Division 2 next season. Looking to Mixed Division 2 today then. Now, this was the only league going into this weekend where the champions had already been decided. Castletown Camags have already been crowned Mixed Division 2 champions after victory in midweek, so with 2 games to spare, they will be going up, Castletown Camags, to Mixed Division 1 next season. Camags, though, held today. A 1-1 draw up against Vikings D at Castle Rushen.
Yeah, it was going to be a close game, this, and I did say I would sit on the fence on this one, and I'm glad I did, because it has lived up to how close I thought it was going to be. Lauren Collister for Camags and Danny Kane for Vikings D. But yeah, congratulations to Castletown Camags. Of course, they had a rearranged game midweek which secured the victory.
Elsewhere, Ramsey Ravens getting only their 2nd win of the season in their 9 games so far, and a positive one for them at Ramsey Grammar School, beating bottom of the table Castletown Cosney 4-0.
Yeah, Kyle Kane with 2, Audrey Hinch with 1, and Joe Quine with 1, meaning that Cosney have got a very big game next weekend, because we'll come to that next.
Indeed, because Castletown Cushags, who are 2nd from bottom, just a point above Cosney starting the day, they were beaten today by 3-2 against Backers Mixed Colts.
Yeah, and Alice Kameen with 1 and Harry McKenzie with 2 for Backers Colts, with Kieran Collister and Ashton Flick for Cushags, meaning next weekend Cushags play Cosney for that relegation battle.
Indeed, and just 1 point separating them going into the weekend. On to Mixed Division 3. So looking through the results here to start with. Thriller over at the NSC between Ramsey Rookies and Harlequins D. 10 equally shared, 5 apiece.
This was the game I played in this morning, and yeah, what a game it was. Ramsey took the lead and were 2-0 up. Then Harlequins D pulled it back to make it 3-2 to them at halftime. Then Harlequins got their 4th. Then Ramsey got their 3rd. Then Harlequins got their 5th, and then Ramsey clawed it back to make it 5-0. What a game it was. Charlie Dormer with 1, Oscar Parkinson with 2, Jenny Lentry with 1, and Hannah Wilde with 1 for Ramsey Rookies. And then for Harlequins D, she claims she's retired. She's not retired yet. Ali Middleton with 1, Sophie Knighton with 1, Callum Leslie with 1, and some fella called Ben Cunningham got 2, but yeah.
I've heard of this Ben Cunningham. I don't think he'll really catch on.
No,
in hockey,
he won't
to be
catch on anytime soon.
Elsewhere, QE2 in Peel. This was a big game today between the top two sides, Valkyries D and Backers D. And Valkyries D, if they were to secure victory today, would secure the Mixed Division 3 title. And indeed they have. So taking the silverware out to the west of the island this season. Congratulations, Valkyries D, Mixed Division 3 champions, because they've beaten Backers D by 4-3. Sounds like an entertaining one, Ben.
Yeah, and Valkyries were 2-1 down at half time. So a massive comeback for Valkyries D to take the victory. And now they've took the league. So they were relegated back to Division 3 last season, and they're now back into Division 2, which I'm sure they would definitely want it to happen this weekend. Will Miller with two, Mark Perryman with one, and Lucas Crondon with one. And then for Backers D, it was Jazz Slight with two and David Neal with one.
So Valkyries D crown Mixed Division 3 champions. No relegation from Mixed Division 3, of course, but looking at the two other games that took place today. Out at QE2, Vikings E1, Castletown Carrick 2.
Yeah, and it was James Baker with one for Vikings E, and Steve Savage with both goals for Castletown Carrick, giving Castletown Carrick a good win there.
Indeed, and only the third victory of the nine games they've played so far. And then honours even between Harlequin C and Backers Mixed Books at the NSC 3-3.
I umpired this game, and what a great game it was to umpire end-to-end, and a fair, fair result, the draw. Nathan Evans with one, Laura Smith with one, and Sean Down with one for Harlequin C. And then Backers Mixed Books, it was Kieran Berry with two and Grace Evans with one.
Okay, and Ben, just very quickly as well, because they were the later results, which have been filtering through to us as well, could you just take us through the results from the three games in the Mixed Under-15s League?
And the first one is a 1-1 draw between Valkyries and Harlequins. Harry Lewis for Valkyries and Ruby Krellin for Harlequins. For the other game was Vikings against Castletown Sharks. That was a 3-2 win to Castletown Sharks. Adam Eels with one and George Hampton with two for Sharks, with Theo Roberts getting both goals for Vikings. And then Backers 6, Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 2. Carter Whitehead with 3, Zach Moore with 2, and Ben White with 1 for Backers. And then the Ramsey goal scorers were Autumn Ryle and Jed Dixon-Howell.
So, just if people have not long joined us, the time is approaching 6:07 on Saturday Sport Classified. After just going through the hockey results from today, a number of league titles decided, one relegation decided, but it means we are set up for a grand finale in a couple of situations going into the final weekend next week. So here's how things look in the Mixed Premier League. Backers Mixed A crown champions today, but the battle against relegation will go down to next weekend. Vikings B second from bottom and Castletown Southern as bottom, and both play each other. So it is a winner-takes-all situation between those two. In Mixed Division 1, as it stands, four teams mathematically are still in with a shot of winning the Mixed Division 1 title. Backers C, Ramsey A, Valkyries B and Harlequins B. And Harlequins B with a game in hand. And as Ben's already mentioned, we could see that game in hand played in midweek, which could shake things up a little bit further. Vikings C, after defeat today, are relegated from Mixed Division 1. So commiserations. Mixed Division 2, Castletown Cameggs already crowned Mixed Division 2 champions after winning their game in hand in midweek. So winning it with two games to spare going into the final weekend, and also the battle against relegation will go into tomorrow, into next week as well. Castletown Cushags second from bottom, Castletown Cosney bottom, 1 point separating the two, and those two are playing each other in what could be a very significant Castletown derby indeed. Mixed Division 3, Valkyries D, after a 4-3 win over the near challenge Backers D today, are crowned champions, so they'll be taking the Mixed Division 3 title out to the west of the island. No relegation from this division, of course, and some good games it seems as well in Mixed Division 3. So Ben, I'll ask you, of course, next week and maybe going forward, because of course we still have the Cup Finals weekend, the Mixed Cup Finals to come in Manx hockey in a couple of weeks' time. I mean, what we're seeing in a lot of cases here again across the divisions, and I know we've covered it before, is just how competitive these leagues are at each level.
Absolutely. I mean, you only need to look at like Division 3, the results there today. You had a 10-goal thriller, a 6-goal thriller, and then the other games were all separated by one goal in Division 3. Division 2, that's going to go down to the wire for the relegation spot. Division 1, we've now got four teams potentially that could take the title next weekend. And then for the Premier League, of course, Backers A, absolutely phenomenal season this year. But that relegation spot goes down to the wire, where the two teams will play each other next weekend. I really don't know what game I'm going to go to next weekend, because I'm going to have a look and see where the fixtures are. I think my car might have to do a fair bit of travelling next week.
Man, very well, it would make it very entertaining for us neutrals over here as well. Ben Cunningham, thank you very much indeed. So yes, the Isle of Man mixed hockey season for 2025 set up for a grand finale across several fronts next weekend. And as we mentioned as well, the cup finals still to come as well in a couple of weeks' time.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, finally, this evening, we're now less than a year away from the return of the Commonwealth Games, and preparations are well underway for Team Isle of Man to head to Glasgow next summer. But since the last Games in 2022, there's been plenty of turbulence and uncertainty around the event, including the Scottish city replacing previous hosts Victoria State in Australia. 2026 will also see a slimmed-down event with 10 sports taking place across four venues in a city which last hosted the Games relatively recently in 2014. Well, I've been speaking this week with Team Isle of Man chef de mission Erica Bellhouse, who's been explaining some of the ongoing unknowns and challenges they're still trying to navigate ahead of next year.
Yeah, so obviously from our point of view, we're kind of not involved in the direct organisation. Our role is to take our team. So we don't have, if I'm honest, that much influence on what happens in terms of the organisation. And being honest, it's going to be a very different Games, and there's little that we can do to control that. So obviously, you know, it's widely known there's reduced sports, reduced venues, less kind of the outdoor spectacle. So you've seen that the removal of like the cycling road races, the marathon and that type of thing. So it's going to be very much more condensed Games. But, you know, the team that we take will be just as strong as it ever is. And I hope the athletes that go to the Games still get a fantastic experience out of it.
Can you give us a rough idea of how large maybe the team will be? Because the Isle of Man took its largest ever team to the Games in 2022. Given there's going to be reduced sports and some changes, can you tell us a bit like what the size of the squad might be like?
Yeah, so it will be reduced. But that's no reflection on the Isle of Man. We did take our largest team, and you know, for our size, we, because of previous achievements, we've always managed to bolster our team numbers. They've all been reduced sort of pro rata, but we still will be taking a team of, I can't confirm the exact number yet, but I think we'll be talking kind of mid-20s, which is still, proportionately speaking, when you look at the number of sports that have been removed from the programme, we're still going to be taking a really big and a really strong team with us.
One thing that's been, I suppose, discussed, if you like, over the last couple of months is all the qualifying standards for the various sports. I mean, how much of a challenge has that been to work around? Because whilst so many things are being sorted out, has there been a case where maybe some athletes have not quite known what they've got to aim for yet?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been kind of a real challenge because of the changes, which is nobody's fault. Obviously, the change of venue very late on meant a change in Games, a change in look. We didn't actually know if there would be a Games for so long. And then when finally we did find out that there was a Games, obviously we didn't know which sports were going to be involved. There were rumours, and it's very difficult to manage the athletes' expectation. And we kind of feel that really strongly from our point of view. And we don't want to raise hopes, but we need to keep a dream alive. So it has been very difficult to manage this time, if I'm honest. We are in a position now where the vast majority of the sports do have standards in place, and they should have been communicated. And at this point, it's very much with the sports. They're communicating with their athletes. They're dealing with them day to day and managing that expectation. Being honest, there are a couple of sports, again, outside of our control. There's still a few bits and pieces that are being ironed out by CGF, which I know doesn't help athletes. And it is frustrating. And we see those frustrations and hear them. Hopefully, you know, we're making ourselves accessible as we can. We've got an absolutely fantastic athletes rep, Grace Harrison, who is working her way through at the moment, trying to speak to long list athletes just to try and help them through the process, because we do understand that it's difficult and uncertain for them.
That is Team Isle of Man chef de mission Erica Bellhouse with an update on Team Isle of Man's preparations ahead of the 2026 Commonwealth Games in Glasgow next summer. Well, that just about rounds things out for Saturday Sport Classified this week. Thank you very much for joining us here on Manx Radio AM 1368. Don't forget, if you want to catch up on any of the results and analysis from today's programme, it will be available as a podcast later this evening. And as always, you can follow all the latest Isle of Man sports news over on the Manx Radio Sports Hub at www.manxradio.com. So all that's left for me to say for now is have yourself a wonderful rest of your Saturday evening and a wonderful weekend as well. We're now going to be handing back over to Manx Radio Gold. Thank you, and have a very good evening.
Manx Radio Sport.